All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you know, we are going to, I will share a small word of exhortation, a short and small word of exhortation, and then we will pray. Now, let's continue from where we were on Saturday. This is not a teaching, not about our teaching series, but I want to continue something from that Saturday teaching that I gave here, the book of Joshua chapter 14. Let's read it together again, and then we'll start our prayer from there. I'll remind us of what we discussed briefly, and if anybody is listening to this on a CD or in any recorded format, a person can get our series titled Where Life Begins. And last Saturday was our number 5, okay, Where Life Begins, all right? So we're just taking this, our prayer today, from that particular point. All right, the Lord is good. From verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb said to him, that is to Joshua, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." And he was referring to what happened in Numbers 13 and 14. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." All right, verse 8. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord fully." And remember then, I emphasized that expression, "I followed the Lord fully." So Moses wrote on that day saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because," verse 9 again, "you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 40 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today." But notice verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me," that is 45 years ago. "As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. So then give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities." Please notice this. In that area you have the giants with great fortified cities. "Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Are you noticing that? First, in verse 8, he explained that "I followed the Lord fully." Moses said in verse 9, "You followed the Lord my God fully." And the commentary says in verse 14 that he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, among the giants. Then the land had rest from war. Now, what we're teaching then, I'm not going to go over the teaching now. If you were not there then, you can listen to the tape or the CD. What we're teaching is that there's what is called following the Lord fully. I'm not going to teach that again now. That what Christians often do is that they want to, it's very common these days, they want to follow the Lord only by his promises. We analyze 4 different words briefly from the book of Psalms 119. I said you can find them there, though we didn't read Psalm 119. I said, one, there is a word of God, which David will tell you, "Quicken me according to thy word." And that refers to the promise of God. So there are the promises of God, that's number one. We said there are the precepts of God, which are the principles of God. We said there are the commandments, which obviously are commandments, all right? Honor the father, your father and thy mother and stuff like that. And then we said, last of all, there are the testimonies, which are things like personalized and customized commandments. Do you understand that? That is commandments that may not apply to everybody, but applies to you. So something may be right for everybody, but it's not right for you as a person. And we said that if you are going to experience the fullness of God's blessings, in fact, if those promises that people are trying to hold on to are going to have any relevance or fulfillment in your life, it must be because you are following God fully. He said, we also read that he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's how Christians are supposed to relate with God, by his word. You take every part of it and you imbibe it. People often want to just follow God by his promises. So we would like to go to church and hear prophetic words declared over us. I said it before, those words are good and they are necessary. In fact, part of what I'm going to do today is also taken from that, our message, prayer meeting we had last year, titled, The Blessing for the Blessed Man. You remember that? I discussed that in detail then. That, you see, prophecies can be going forth, all right? Now, anybody can say amen, but you must have a prepared heart to be able to receive it. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's important. The example, what I used to illustrate was DSTV, right? Yeah, it's a satellite TV company. They have their satellites covering, at least, like Nigeria. And as we are standing here, the signals are hitting everybody here in the scalp, but you don't know. Why? Because your skin is not wired by God to perceive TV signals. Are you getting my point? So if you want to, what it means is that God is broadcasting, assuming they are DSTV, they are broadcasting now as we are speaking. But before you can take advantage of it, before you can watch TBN or what concerns us now, Kingdom Africa on DSTV, you must have their decoder, you must have their smart card, and you must pay your subscription. That's just the way it works. Are you getting my point? So if you want the blessing in DSTV, you must take the precepts, the decoder, you understand? You must take the commandments, the smart card, and then you must have the testimonies, which is your subscription. They must be together. Then the signals being released by DSTV from their satellites will affect your life. So a lot of people go, they just want to shout amen. That is, maybe they bought a decoder by being present, but they don't have a smart card. They do not have their subscription up to date. So they can shout amen from now to forever. It doesn't have any effect. That's the problem we have, all right, in Christianity. People want to follow God only by the promise, by the word, according to Psalm 119. Quicken me, he says, according to thy word, according to thy promises, in which you have made your servant to hope, that is to have an expectation. That's the word, the promises of God. People want to just have that. So pastor will say, this year shall be well with you. Everybody wants to say amen. But they want to go back home and forget the precepts of God, forget the principles, which are the precepts, the commandments, and then the testimonies. Do you follow what I'm saying? Then they don't get any benefit from that word. And what are we doing today? We have come to pray so that that will not be our portion. Do you understand that? What are we doing today? We have come to pray that that will not be our own story. That it will not be those who went, like Solomon was saying, in case of a man, a sinner, who went every so often into the place of the righteous, used to go to the temple. Yes, he died a sinner. Do you understand my point? Yes, it's very important because as part of, well, if we can get there today, we will. But even if we don't, we'll do this one that's most important. But what I want to do again is just to pronounce the blessing of God upon everyone present here or listening to this on any recorded medium. It's important. Please, if you go and get that message, blessing for the blessed man. I explained it in details, all right? Prophecies must come upon you. It's important, all right? It's important. It's good that Pastor Banky teaches and teaches and teaches. It's very good. But having taught, it's good that once in a while, a word is still pronounced directly. That's why, if you see this year, I didn't do it this Saturday. What I do now is, I end the meeting. If I forget, remind me. If they want to share grace, say, Pastor, it's your portion to share grace beginning from now. So I'll rush back. That is, I'll say, this coming week, favor will follow you. It's important. Do you get my point? I say, when you cross the road, a car will not accidentally knock you down. You will walk into places you did not know that blessings were waiting, and that blessing will come upon you. Are you getting my point? It's important that 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 by your right hand, none will come near you. Go and vote. Don't worry. Nobody can do you anything. Do you understand my point? You should hear things like that. Because sometimes you wake up in the morning, your body wants to drag. You just suddenly hear, go and vote. You will rise up and then you will go there and vote, and indeed you will be protected. Are you getting my point? It's important. It's important. So that's why I discussed then the blessing for the blessed man. Because you must be blessed first. He says, say to Aaron and to his sons, thus you will bless the sons of Israel. You will say to them. It's what you say to them that brings blessings upon them. But it was for the sons of Israel. It's not just for anybody passing by. It's for those who have joined themselves to the covenant by obedience to the precepts, the principles, the commandment of God, by obedience to circumcision. Do you understand that? That's the way it works, all right? So like I was saying, what we want to do today briefly, okay, is to ensure that this is not our portion. That is, we won't be like those who go, they shout blessing, blessing, blessing. You only hear with the hearing of your ears. And the word does not become flesh in your life. No, it's not your portion. Amen? I say it's not your portion. Amen? I'm already prophesying. It is not your portion. Amen? It is not. It cannot be in the name of Jesus. You know, one of the things I have said and I've prayed and I still pray, nobody who gives attention. Now, you can listen to Kenneth Hagin. The word works. Amen? You can listen to W.F. Kumuyi. The word works. Amen? But nobody who listens to Pastor Banky, there will not be one that will fail in life. Not one. It's important. They may be small now, but their latter end shall greatly increase.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Simply because the word works. And that's what I believe. That, look, listen, I don't preach what I don't believe. My wife is a witness. In fact, sometimes she doesn't know when I prepare my sermons. What I mean is that, you never see me say, I'm preparing sermon. Please, get me that concordance. What does this word say? When it's time to come to teach, all I do is just walk around. You can ask her, although she won't tell me you I'm lying anyway. And the point I'm just making that, as a matter of fact, what I just do is simply, I'm just walking around. I'm thinking. It's what comes into my heart. I don't try to write down things that I'm just, it's written here. Moses said this. I don't believe it. If I don't understand it, I don't show up to say it. Are you getting my point? So the things I have said, believe me, they are true. They are true. I know them to be true. And I trust God. I started praying that one last year. Anybody who gives attention to those words, God do. Well, I don't even know why I needed to pray, but it's part of God's agenda. But that word must come to pass. Are you getting my point? Listen, in fact, I'm so happy. You know that story we're reading from Sunday Adelaja, that book, Money Won't Make You Rich. I tell you some things I read in there. It's an anointing. It's not the principles. It's the fact that the man taught, people listened. And God flowed through his words the power to get wealth into their lives. Receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That is your portion. This is another thing. You will not die early. If you wanted to die, you wouldn't have come here.
Yes.
Now that you have decided that you will be coming here and listening to me, the spirit of death is angry. He has left you alone. You hear what I said?
Yes,
I said he has left you alone.
Amen.
It is not possible for you to die before your time. No sickness will kill you. Lassa fever, whatever it is, if you hear Lassa fever, say, yeah, the one Pastor Bank was talking about, you have just lost. Tell him like that. Tell him like that, that you have just lost. Why? Because the word works. If the body be dead, subject to death, was saying, because of sin. He said, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He said that spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means that you will succeed.
Amen.
Are you getting my point? You will what? Succeed. That's what God says. And that, no, he said the word became flesh. All right? That word will become flesh in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they are life to those who find them. It's to find them we are talking about. They are life to those who find them. And health, medicine, the prince was explaining when I listened to that, his tape, God's medicine those days. So they are medicine to their whole body. He had a chronic illness at the time. And it took the medicine in 3 months. What doctors couldn't care for years disappeared. Because it's medicine to their whole body. So, it will not be your case that this word was being spoken. You heard it and it did not profit you because of unbelief. He said the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. The issue now comes down again to the matter of faith. What is faith therefore? Alright, we can see all kinds of things, but people say, can you pray for faith? Though they say, no, you study your way into faith. Others on IG said, like Ed Cole said, balance is the key to life. You pray, you study, all of them join together. A man came to the Lord Jesus and said, I told your disciples to help me. They could not. If you can do anything, help me. And Jesus was angry at that statement. So what do you mean by if I can do anything? The problem is not with me. It is with you. If you can believe. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I was sharing with a friend of mine over the weekend. I went to minister to him. And you know, later I was not speaking to people who came. I said that, we come some things, all right? I said, look, Christians, we think that it's about holding on to faith tightly. I said, sometimes when we hold so tightly to what we have, we call faith, we are holding God's hand so much, he can't do it, use it for anything to help us. I've also heard John G. Lake talk about that. That sometimes people looking for healing, they hold it so tight, it can't come. So with this guy, I said, oh boy, don't even try to be strong in faith. If you want to sleep, fall asleep. All this one, gra-gra, won't get you healed. I said, we are tired. I said, Lord, I am tired. I want to go and sleep. If they let us pray, say, brethren, I'm sleepy. I'm serious. When I talk like someone, somebody say, are you really a man of God? I'm telling you, sometimes, you know what we do sometimes unconsciously as Christians, eh? We want to say it is our faith. And when we start using that, our faith in that sense, we are taking the glory from God. And then the man, he was speaking. He said, it was the same. Now listen to this. Did Peter doubt when he started walking on water? Answer me. Did he doubt or did he not doubt? And when he doubted, what happened? And when he started sinking, what did he do? Help! What did the Lord do? Did he say, you doubted, you are going to die? The Lord didn't say that. Look at you, idiot. Why did you doubt? You will drown today. Judas, look at him. You will drown today. When the man shouted help, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That shout for help is faith. You didn't get me. That very shout for help in our faith. That was why the Lord reached out and then grabbed him. He said, oh, you of what? That little one allowed you to shout. You get what I'm saying? Oh, you of little faith. That little one reminded him to shout. If he was, oh, you of no faith at all, down to the bottom of the ocean. But because he was, oh, you of little faith, the little one allowed him to do what? To shout. So my brother, I heard him say it. He said, the same man who said, come, who Peter did not hold on to, was the one that delivered him when he shouted, help. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? It is okay for Christians to shout for help. If it's a matter of faith, if your faith is too small, shout for it. Say, God, help me. That man shouted, I believe, but I know it's too small. Help my unbelief. If you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I talked about the spirit of faith. It's not by struggle. God either gives you or he does not give you. I'm telling you, it sounds funny. You think, well, why didn't God give somebody else? He didn't ask for it. He didn't live a life that showed that he wanted it. That's it. There is a spirit of faith. There is a spirit of faith when Ezekiel fell down and he couldn't get up and he heard the voice that says, stand to your feet that I might speak to you. Ezekiel himself said, the spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's important. They say that no, God, I've heard people say that you cannot pray that God should increase your faith. You go and get a Bible and you read. Listen. First, pray that God should increase your faith. Then grab a Bible and read this, knowing that your faith is being increased and you need to discover things in the world. Both of them go together. He said, you said the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. That intonation shows that there is an erroneous thought. So sometimes we just read the Bible, thinking that by reading it we just get understanding. No. First, understanding, an understanding heart. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him must be given to you. It must be. It must be. That's why it's important we hold these prayer meetings. It must be. And that's what I want us to pray about today first. Let's rise to our feet. Now, you've gotten my point. That's where we're starting from. Today, we are going to pray for our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Look, it's not about struggle. It's about what? Praying. It's about crying for help. If you are tempted to doubt, say, Lord, I was tempted to doubt just now. Please help my faith so I don't doubt. Do you understand? There's not like, I refuse to doubt. Say, Lord, Lord, if you don't help, I will agree to doubt. Sincerity, honest. That's it. That's it with God. A lot of people can't follow the Christian walk because some of us preachers have made it into a lot of struggle.
I said, no, you will just, no. He said, no, this food, I'm not going to eat you until God comes. I've seen who collapsed while they were fasting. And they gave them food to eat. He said, no, I must finish the fast. Is that not the end of the fast? You collapsed. He said, no, he said, it's 3-day fast. This young woman have in mind, first day, no food, no water. Second day, no food. Yeah, that third day, praise the Lord. Bam, she fell on the floor. And they understood that, no, this one will be anointing. This now acute severe hunger. Take Coke, drink. Then no, the fast is tomorrow. I must finish it. Ah, this is the end of the fast for you. No, sometimes it's great. We think it's about how much we can struggle. So we'll now come and start testifying later. This power that you have seen in my life. Brethren, it was 40 days fast. If it's like that, it's the devil that anointed you. It is the devil. It's not God. You want me to say it again? I will say it. If you have to struggle through a 40 days fast by force, and then you are anointed, just know Satan has helped you. Most people really fast like that. When they finish, God say, oh boy, you try. Go home. The anointing. For what? Not by force. He said, ah, Lord, what do you mean? He said, go and ask Jeremiah. When I offered him, he ran. You are forcing it out of my hand. Go and ask Moses. When I offered him, he ran. You don't know what he has. Just go home. When I have, now I know you are serious. When I have need, I'll call you. I said, the Lord is good. No, Christianity is not about struggle. That's what I'm trying to come to knowledge. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. I'm not saying we shouldn't be serious with our prayer life. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Of course, you know, that's not what I'm saying. Why did we all gather here? It's not to pray. Yes, I'm just saying that when we are praying, when we are studying, everything we are doing is so we can depend totally on God. That's it. So even when it comes to fighting for faith, it is still through Him. It's through prayer. That's why you can never run away from that matter. Why we are teaching so that people will know how to do it properly and not to do it religiously. So you know how to do it properly. The word is coming forth. It has blessings in it. But it will not profit us if it's not mixed with faith in our heart. Therefore, what we need to do is pray to the end that the faith of God will be found in our hearts. That's what I'm saying. On Saturday, I'm going to teach further about that. All right? I taught some of those in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. But today, I want to focus on the matter of prayer. Quickly, open to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. You are going to pray to the end that your faith will be strengthened today. There are different ways you do it. Ephesians chapter 1. Many years ago, I learned this from the great man of God by reading his books, Kenneth E. Hagin. And it's been a blessing to me since. Before we read it, Kenneth Hagin said he had been in ministry for years. Then when he began to pray this prayer for himself, is it in 2 weeks or 2 months or so? In a short while anyway, or 6 months, I can't remember. That he has so much understanding in the next few months. They started asking his wife, what have I been preaching all this while? That he was asking his wife, what have I been preaching all this while? That it's amazing that the deacons have not called me to order. I say, oh boy, why are you ruining everything? What did he do? He started praying this prayer. Let me read it, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prayed the prayer for the Ephesians. And I also prayed that prayer for those who listen to my words, the word that I teach. He said, let me start from verse 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And now that I explain the things about that, all right? But this is a summary of the prayer. That's that middle of verse 19. He said, I pray from 17 that God will give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That is, God will give you understanding. Now, when you use the word the spirit of wisdom, that is, the thing stays with you. It's not that God will give you understanding just one scripture, but that it becomes an attribute of your soul. It becomes a part of you. Sometimes I'm reading the scriptures. The other day I was sharing something with my wife. My wife went crazy. And how did I get the understanding? I was driving to work. I was just listening to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything. You think it was playing in the Bible on CD. It was playing in my car. And by the time the man finished reading that portion, I was just like parking my car and saying, no, what is going on here? I suddenly realized that we had not been late. Don't worry. When we finish our Where Life Begins, I'm starting a series on the doctrine of the appointed time. All right? I'll explain what I learned there. I found out what Solomon was explaining. We said there's a time for this, there's a time for that, there's a time for this. It's true. But Solomon was using it to explain a principle that in the same way, there is a time that God will break through upon you. You didn't catch that. That the time has been appointed. He said, therefore, it's not a result of your labor. He said, what is the advantage that a man labors? He said, God has only given him that labor to occupy him until that time. Jesus Christ. I ran back home and told my wife, you are blessed too. Don't worry. Whatever it is you have dreamt of or imagined in life, that the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all of that. All right? There is a time he has appointed to do it. So he says, so my husband, what am I doing right now? I said, you are keeping occupied until that time. It's not the result. Look, go and read it. He said, what is the advantage for the labor that a man has, that he's laboring amongst the living? The simple thing Solomon said himself is that God is keeping him occupied. Oh God. Anyway, I'm not teaching that now. I want to just explain something to you. That when God pours his spirit of understanding into you, the scriptures only make sense. I don't know what you're saying. It suddenly will make sense. As the word is coming forth, it suddenly makes sense. They will preach a word about the second coming of Christ Jesus. You will hear a word about the second coming of a business. I don't know what I hear myself. I'm telling you, you will hear dry bones, leave. Speak to the... All you are hearing, as far as you are concerned, maybe you're a husband, all you are hearing is that wife conceived. That is all, that's what you are hearing. And when you hear like that, it's because power is in it. If you go home and speak that word, no, speak it on the phone. Your wife will conceive before you come back. I don't know, you don't, anyway, may the Lord give you understanding. It's revelation. He said that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The word becomes what? Flesh. It becomes flesh. Jesus is Lord. Listen, that is what we need. Wisdom. That thing that God pours, the spirit that taps wisdom. This one is my own testimony, I can tell you. It happens a lot of times. I go to a church, the pastor will just say, open your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, as he says that, suddenly you see me bring out a book. I start writing. That's one of the reasons why I must have a smartphone these days. Because you know your phone's always with you. If you check my phone, there in the notes pages, there are at least 5 different sermons inside that phone. Don't steal it. Because now revelation is the thief be that. it's happened the other day. A friend of mine was in church, was preaching. As he was talking, I wrote a sermon. I'm going to preach it along the line. The different kinds of lives. And how God brings it to pass. And he was just explaining about soup. As he was talking, it's on my phone. There in church, I just dropped everything, whipped out my phone, started typing. Type. After I written like 10 lines, I knew I won't forget. It's important because sometimes you forget. It's the spirit. Are you getting my point? And like I said, maybe because I'm a teacher of the word, all right? So it manifests in that area a lot. In any area of life, if God pours that spirit into you, you'll be discovering things that other people are not seeing. You know, Joseph did not pray to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. Now, I've been saying that, and I hope you believe it. And you know I'm not playing. As they were telling the dream, he was wondering why Pharaoh didn't understand. That is so obvious. I don't know whether I get my point. Now, God, you mean this is why they brought me from jail? I saw, is it cow that I saw first, or straw, or what they call it? Or wheat, which one? Anyway, I think he saw the wheat first, or cow, whatever. As he was saying it, it was so obvious to Joseph that some were fat. Then after that, that one was there. That's the fruit of the earth, it's obvious. We are talking about abundance in the land. That's prosperity. Then another one came after it, very lean. That's difficulty. Then one swallowed the other one. Difficulty is going to swallow up abundance. It was so straightforward to him. It was so straightforward. What am I saying? When God gives that same spirit, you will go to the office, they will say, what are we going to do? And you'll be wondering now, sir, what are we going to do about what? This problem, you call this a problem? They're like, you call this a problem? Sir, you are calling a staff meeting at 12 noon on what I have an answer for now. And man will look at you. Can I have a sheet of paper, sir? Right. Do this. I told you the other day about Peter Daniels that he consulted for, 10 minutes? I don't know whether it was on the phone, but he consulted for 10 minutes. I think it was on the phone. And they paid him $1 million. Why was it like that? Because what they called a problem was not a problem as far as it was concerned. He just used the opportunity to collect $1 million from some people who didn't know anything. It's called what? A spirit of wisdom that makes you understand the things that others can't see. It's called revelation. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why you need to pray. That's our first prayer point today. Because without it, all those things we have prophesied, it won't enter into our lives. So it will never happen that you heard the word and didn't profit you. When you have understanding, you know, when you see things, when you have revelation, suddenly faith enters your heart automatically. And I can clearly prove that to you. I'll ask my master, how shall we do? That's what the servant of Elisha told him. And Elisha said, why are you making noise? Because you're blind, you can't see. So he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the moment the Lord opened his eyes, he saw what the man of God was saying. That greater are they who are with us than those who are against us. He saw the mountains filled with heavenly armies around. Chariots of fire. Did he shout after that? The next shall be, alas, my master, how shall we sleep? Alas, my master, should we just pay them any attention? Do you get my point? That's what revelation does for you. It births faith inside you. That's what I mean by people say, can you pray for faith? Yes, you can. You can. Therefore, let's begin to pray. You will pray for yourself. Say, dear Lord, I am asking, open your Bible if you need to. Put your name there. He said, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want you to read that one out loud. I want to be hearing you. Use your own words if you wish to. He said, I pray that the eyes of my, from verse 17, he said, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of my heart, or the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. It's important. But let's read that one together, then I'll let you use your own words. Now you put your name there after I've read it. I've read that line. So we're asking God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, how do we go now? Okay, I'll read it, then you repeat it. So that I may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Read it out loud. I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. That I may know what is the hope of his calling. That I may know the riches of his inheritance in the saints. And that I may know the surpassing greatness of his power that works towards me because I believe. That's it. Now, I want to use your own words because there are different areas in which you need understanding. There are businesses you are doing, you need understanding. There's a way you want to tackle your marriage, you need understanding. There's a way you need to tackle your ministry, you need understanding. What you need to pray, say, Lord, give me understanding. In fact, that's what David said. He said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. And now said, give me understanding and I shall live. I want us to begin to pray. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Say, Lord, these words that I hear, don't let them enter one ear and run away from the other one. Those who forget, Jesus said, are those who hear and they don't understand. Therefore, today I want you to pray. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Say, Lord, give me understanding. He said, good understanding brings forth favor. And it's the way of the transgressor, that is those who don't have understanding the ways of God. It's their ways that the Bible says is hard. There's no problem in life that you can't solve once you have the understanding of God. What that gives you suddenly is the wisdom with you to tackle it. But I like the way David said it. If you read that Psalm 143. He said, trouble and anguish has taken hold of me, yet thy commandments are my delight. The righteousness, he said, of thy testimonies is everlasting.
give me understanding and I shall live. That is, when I have troubles and I have anguish. Are you getting my point? He says, at that time, if I have understanding, life will be released to me in the midst of my troubles. Sometimes students are in school and they're having problems. I said the basic issue is that they don't have understanding of certain issues. People say something that I forget a lot. The reason is that there is an understanding that is missing. I want to do something. Just think of the area where you're having, like David said, trouble and anguish. Focus on that and say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. Listen, before you pray that prayer, let me just say something. Eh? This afternoon, I was telling my wife about it. I didn't even say it. I didn't finish saying it. I think I wanted to pray about something. I said, but before I do that praying, I need to read. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I need to meditate. I need to get God's thoughts. Because sometimes we pray out of, how do I describe it now? Just pressure. You just start talking. And it doesn't work. And the reason is because there are times that God says there are certain words you must speak. There are certain issues you must address. You can be having problems, for example, now with your boss in the office. And you don't pray, tire, 6 months. Then finally you pray. Let's say, Lord, in the midst of my troubles and my anguish, give me understanding and I shall live. God said, fine, I've heard you. Now sit down. You are the problem. 6 months of wasted effort. Say, you are the problem. You are the problem. Then you now change the prayer and you start praying the prayers about yourself. In 2 weeks, you see a turnaround. Are you getting my point? That's why I say, now think about that problem. Let's get back to praying. There's something that in your mind may have to do with your father at home, may have to do with your work, with your wife, with your children, with your business, with your spiritual work, anything. And God says, and then you know that there is something that has to be corrected. And God is saying that what you need is understanding. Just think about that for a moment. Focus your mind on it and say, Lord, concerning this affliction, concerning these troubles, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. You know, that word testimony, we discussed the other time, that is talking about specific commandments. What David was saying is that God will tell me what to do. I will have understanding and these troubles will be over. So say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. It's a very simple prayer. You are praying that prayer specifically about an issue now. Sometimes we talk too much as Christians. Yes, we are talking too much. We have shouted Holy Ghost fire where the Lord is trying to put Holy Ghost water. Do you get my point? We shout, shout, shout. All my enemies, God says, the only enemy here is yourself. If I draw the fire on you, like you're asking for, it won't be fun. So we shout and shout. God says, listen, my friend, relax, enough shouting. What you need is understanding. Give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and I shall live. Yes, I have a problem with my academics. God said, look, it is not about reading more or going to meet people for discussion class. It is about settling down and getting understanding. That's why, look, this is how faith works. It's not by being stubborn of heart. Say, no, God, if you don't give me, I'm changing my mind. No, faith is knowing that all my answers are with God. And David said, when I'm in the midst of troubles and anguish, what I need is what? Understanding. So pray like Paul. Say, God, give to unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Very important. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Fill my eyes, the eyes of my understanding with light, that I will perceive your instruction in everything. That your word will make meaning to me as it's coming forth. That your word will make meaning to me as it is coming forth. If you discover, no, this is very true, that you like to hear the word, but when they are preaching, you can't even get the point. It is time to pray. Don't stop praying that prayer until light dawns on your soul. They drag you for Bible studies. Yes, you hear it, you enjoy it, you like hearing it. But at the end, when they say, what did they say? Say, I can't remember. It is time to pray. Say, give me the spirit, Lord, I'm asking, of wisdom
and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, so that the word that is coming forth will make meaning to my soul. It will make meaning in my ears. It will make meaning as I'm hearing it, and it will settle in my heart. Those that heard the word and the birds of the air took it away immediately. The Lord Jesus said, those are those who heard the word and did not understand it. That's a very serious prayer. And like I said to us again and again before, we are not here just to pray once. We are here to learn to pray, to begin to pray. You will not stop praying this prayer until you see the cloud. You know, like the servant of Elijah said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Until you see something beginning to lighten upon you, so you won't stop praying. It will make it your habit. Say, Lord, you will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I accept it from your hand. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because I know you have heard me. Shout it loud. Say, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation.
In the knowledge of God.
The word of God is sweet to my soul.
Say it, tap your chest. The word of God is sweet in my heart.
I have understanding.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
Where men are confused, I have light.
Where men are in darkness, I have light.
Because God has given me the spirit of wisdom.
Because the Lord has given me the spirit of understanding.
Because the Lord has given me knowledge and understanding.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's just give the Lord. They say, Father, we give you thanks. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I know you have poured into me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord, I thank you. Just give him thanks. Quickly, if you have your Bibles again, let's open to the book of Psalms 51. Again, if you were not here when we taught the series, the hundredfold blessing, please make sure you get the CD. I think we have like, how many messages in that? 5 or so. That series we taught then about the hundredfold blessing. Please, 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 I beg in the name of the Lord, try and listen to those messages. Even if you were here then, even if you are my wife and you hear the message again and again at home, still get home, load it on your iPod and listen to it again. The hundredfold blessing. Why am I talking about that again? Because, you know, we're talking about DSTV signals, decoder, smart card, and subscription. Can you remember? Have you ever checked TV signal? They'll tell you, the signal quality. They tell you 35%. You've seen it before? For those of you who are used to things like that, you check. In fact, if you use a strong decoder, that one you displays on the screen, you see it's either green. Once it drops below 20-something, it turns to red. Once it enters that red properly, your screen just disappears. And that tells you no audio or video signals. And DSTV will tell you all kinds of things. Cannot connect with the service. You see all those kind of things. Let me ask you, did the satellite go off? Satellite didn't go off. In fact, my own strong system, the man who installed the thing on a pole that shifts. So when we are watching consistently without effort for like 6 weeks, then one day you come, form, you don't vanish. And you call my cousin, Sheo, Alpha, it's not working. The guy don't mount the pole because it's on it's attached to our overhead tank. We'll climb there and tell my son, be watching, you know. And we shout, yes, it's clear now. It is not the satellite company. It is the position of our dish. The problem is not God. It is us. When the world produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, it was not the very potency of the world. It depended on the kind of heart that it reached. That's why we talked about the 100-fold blessing. That one of the things Christians do, all right? One of the things they do is not to, you know, too much enemy. I think we have a plague of enemies in Christianity today.
so many spiritual books on overcoming enemies. I've seen books with over 1,000 prayer points. 85% of them, enemies. Let me make this my statement again. Your enemies are only as strong as your relationship with God is weak. The weaker you are in the strength of God in your life, the stronger your enemies begin to appear. So when they are strong, don't worry about them. Don't cast them down with Holy Ghost fire. Raise yourself up into the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what happens with believers. So let's forget this. Our focus on them is that all the witches have gathered. I've told any witch that loves to die. If you know a witch near your area and you want him or her to die on time, show he the fellow my address. Say, go and attack that man. They will promote you in the devil's kingdom. You are sure that one is dead? You think I'll pray about him? No. There are some good angels and there are some evil angels. The ones guarding around me are evil ones. Called angel of death. You know, the demon of death. When he's angel of death, there are some angels that smoke according to Apostle Benga. And they see enemies, they behead them before somebody says, go ahead. I'm telling you, Christians, that's how we reason. Say, witches. Where? Ask my wife this one. You can actually ask her, really. Because I want you to confirm from her. Have I ever prayed in my house about witches? God forbid. Who's a witch? An average unbeliever that does not know Christ. Period. The devil can promote you to any level in his kingdom. You are still an unbeliever that does not know Christ Jesus. That's all. Have you seen them say, hey, I'm an Ogbanje spirit. I've come to this world 17 times. You are an idiot. It is given unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Come and harass me. The devil has deceived even his own followers. You know, the devil is very wicked. You go here and say, you are my number two commander in this area. That one to say, Okpayo, I've been promoted. Say, you are my number two commander. So you see testimony night, second in command of the one single devil. Hamba! Hey, it's confusion. If a man tells me second in command to the devil, I said, my life is hid with Christ in God. Not even second in command. With Christ in God. The Bible says that they have drawn their arrows against the Lord, against the righteous. Said their arrows will enter into their own hearts. I believe those scriptures. I believe it. So what am I saying? Let's forget all those enemies, witches. They say witches in the Iroko tree. You know, I'm very funny. Now I have deliverance to cast out the witch out of the Iroko tree. That thing makes me laugh. Any witch that's nice enough to stay in the Iroko tree, leave them there. They have left the house for you. What else do you want? How can you be so wicked? They left the house and said, we want to stay in the Iroko tree. So that's very nice. If I bind them in the name of Jesus, you will remain here for life. That's good. Don't cast them out from there. Man, Iroko tree can't do anything to anybody. Believe me, there is no witch in any Iroko tree. When Mboma will cut it, turn it to a chair. The chair no go shook anybody. Bring it down, turn it to something. If you like the tree, leave it there. No witch can stay there. Build a church under it, nothing will happen. I know what I'm saying. The only problem in our lives, is when our own hearts are not clean towards God. My wife knows what I'm talking about. Somebody was telling her just once how people are doing jazz against them so that they will not do well. By the time she had dealing with these people that they were doing jazz against, they had jazzed themselves into with dishonesty. You get my point? Say, our enemies, they have jazzed us. That's why we don't have money. It's okay. Let's just, by the time you come close to them, if the Bobo says, good morning, you first check outside whether it's really morning or midnight. The guy, they just started, they deceive you, and they test you money. And I say, it's witch. This is not witch. I have been where pastors gathered before to pray. What are they praying about? All the enemies. And then the person told me, it was a relative of mine. Says, what I want to tell you, don't let anybody hear. Because they have found out that person is a witch. I said, what? He said, yes. You know those pastors that came to pray? I said, shock, mogile te. According to Jekede Sukoya. I couldn't talk. If it's now. No, I don't change. Well. And if it's now, I've changed. I will tell the truth.
I'll just say, I beg. Like mafia, we say, I mean, no disrespect. I just have to tell you the truth. And I'll just say, no disrespect. The pastor that saw the witch could not see the lying in your heart. He could not see the deception. He's blind. He's a false prophet. This is my definition of a false prophet. Anybody that sees your problems as coming from somewhere else without making demands of righteousness or for righteousness in your life is a false prophet. I said, they saw witch. So this pastor, anyway, you know why won't he see witch? I was reading the book of Micah yesterday. He said that those who give them food, they prophesy good for. Then they turn they make themselves as enemies of those who give them nothing to eat. It's in the book of Micah, describing prophets. When you have fed the pastor well before he prays, he won't see well again. You know, those kind of pastors, if you feed me well, doesn't matter. I'll still tell you the truth, vex if you want. A lot, they say, fast, then they break the fast with all this fast food, then you pray. Nothing's wrong with you. Nobody will bring this food. For God, it is well with your soul. It's your enemies. We will kill them today. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Why did I say all of this? Let's forget. No, we can't say these things enough. You will go home, your father will tell you that the prophets were here last week. They have prayed. They said it is your uncle that's worrying me. Then I said that if you give your life to Christ, for light a lie, my uncle will stop now. No, I'm serious. Like I said, look, I'm talking about believers. So I'm not saying that you should go and tell an unbeliever that witch is not worrying him. Witch kills unbelievers. So. Witches kill unbelievers. So. You hear what I said? What did I say? Witches kill unbelievers. They do. It is you I'm saying they can't kill. And there's no deliverance for the wicked. No, pray from now till tomorrow. If a witch can eat him, it's going to eat him one way or the other. If you can't eat him while you are there, he will eat him later. If you go there and say, right now, we cast out every witch, out of this house, the witch say, I'm going. Don't worry, we are going. All demons, they say, yes, let's go out. The pastor will soon go. To the nearby Iroko tree, everybody hang. Only two demons say, there's no branch left. He said, just use that cocoyam tree there. Wait, stay there. Pastor will soon come out. If you ever read Omobajesu said one day, follow one girl, go church. Once he entered like this, they pounced on him. In the name of all the demons following, ran away. They went and waited outside. As soon as he came out, they jumped back inside and he continued his evil ways. So if you like, go and pray for somebody who doesn't agree to give that to Christ. The demons will escape. They'll go and wait outside. It's happened to me before. When I was 7, I told you the story. If you read one of my books, one of my patients, she was going to die of perforated typhoid and all of that. I prayed for her one day. I remember my flatmate, a Muslim, opened my door to see what was going on. I agonized for like 45 minutes. She was unconscious, her kidneys had packed up. I said, no, not on my watch. I prayed and next day, the kidney said, wicked pastor, we will walk. I'm serious. The kidney opened next day, started walking normally. The woman woke up from her unconsciousness. Her fever went down. I was so happy. I continued my treatment. I was dancing. I served in the military barracks. I was dancing all over the barracks. Say, hey, my patient is getting well. The next day I came to work. The woman don't run away. What happened? Her husband came at 7 a.m. They knew I'll come around 8. They came at 7 or 6:30 before I arrived and told the soldier on duty that the juju man said that she's being poisoned, so they should bring her for treatment. When I got there, I did like this. Kai. You know what the devil said in effect? Pastor, man of God, child of God, you say I can't kill her here. I'll go and kill her at home. Of course, she died that week. I knew she would die. I was not in doubt. I said this woman is dead. So you go and be praying and casting out demons from those who don't want to give your life to Christ. The demon will say, okay, pastor, she will soon go home. It's you who's calling pastor. Because every man of God is a pastor. Every child of God, I mean. The demon will say, and you guys, before they wound us, let's go and wait outside. And when you finish deliverance, in Jesus' name, let's give the Lord thanks. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. The demon said, just the clap. Maybe you go house. when you leave.
They can't jump in immediately. They go wait. Then the wickedness in that man's heart will rise like an antenna.
The demons, they are calling us. And the man sneezes, he sneezes iniquity. He says, yes, that's a cue to come back.
As he's getting well, as the man is getting well, he says, good. This is my senior wife. Thinks, say, Ingofi killed me. I've been delivered now. And my girlfriend is waiting. As he thinks that thought, the demon will jump again. Fwah! What are you doing here?
You are an adulterous woman. We have come to kill the man of adultery. Amen?
I'm telling you, everybody, the demon will gather again. They will fool you, pastor, pastor. He's getting bad again. By the time you come, he's dead. This time around, they will rush. Because once they cast out the demon, now one, they come out. When they are returning, they recruit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the witches, the devils, they kill unbelievers. Amen? Amen? So, if you want to deliver somebody, tell the person, deliverance is not in my prayer, it's in Christ Jesus. Until you invite Jesus into your house. He said, if my man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. Then I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. We'll start living in his house. Let's see the witch that will come there that time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't ever forget, as believers, as Christians, our problem is between us and God. That's why I said, please go and listen to the tape, 100-fold blessing. So we went through that step by step. But I want to just use that to pray for a few more minutes we have before we leave here. I don't like us to stay too long. Psalm 51. I don't want to read all the verses. What I just want to read is from verse 5. It said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. That's what God desires, truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, thou wilt make me know wisdom. He now said in verse 7, this is where I'm going. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. My emphasis begins from 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He said, do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. And he said, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Now, why I like to read this, there's another one actually I want to read. Let me just quickly get there. Because we're talking about the word having effect in our lives. Yes, please. Yeah, Psalm 139. Yes. Let's just add this one to it. These two, then we'll pray with that. And then we're out of here. Paul says, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That is, it's with the perfection of holiness that the promises we have will be released into our lives. All right? Let me quickly read verse 23. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Listen, I don't want to read too many scriptures. He taught Job how to pray. He said, instead of shouting, I have not done anything. He said, Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me. So that's a better way to pray. Instead of shouting, I have not done anything. That's what Job was shouting. Simply pray, say, Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me. Remember those three scriptures. David first, he first prayed, he said simply, Lord, purge me with hyssop. Create a new spirit inside me. Then he said here, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Try and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful thing in me. What am I saying? It's only those things that can hinder the promises of God from being manifested in our lives. Do you understand my point? Therefore, let's just take the next few minutes and pray again. And say, Lord, search me. And anything that is not in line with your will, reveal it to me that I might confess it out of my life. It's a very important prayer point. Because as God is raising you up to a new level, He has to remove the things that are not compatible with that level. And until those things are uprooted, are you getting me? Though that new level can never be manifested. When I'm explaining something to my wife sometimes, I say, listen, these things may not look like they are serious. I say, but for you to enter into the level you are believing God for, things that are okay for everybody else, some of them have to drop. And those are the things that cause hindrances. They are not the enemies. Hey, no, it's not human beings. It is those little things inside you. So, simply, if you don't know which verse to use, just use that psalm. That's Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's very simple. If you pray this prayer with sincerity, I've been in places before and I pray this kind of prayer, and the answer I got from heaven is not every day God talks loudly. Literally knocked me into my chair. Bam! I fell into the seat. It happens. God will give you an answer. He will tell you simply, oh boy, forget it. Stop chasing that woman. I will find you another wife. You have invested. Don't worry. There are businesses you have tried. Go and read them on Shakarian, the happiest people on earth. When he was having issues, he went to pray. God answered him simply. You are doing a business I have not sent you into. It's a crucial prayer point. Say, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That is, show it to me that I might confess it out of my heart. David said, in the time of affliction, in the time of turmoil, what I need is understanding. Because the righteousness of your testimony, they are everlasting. It's everlasting. What I need is understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, test me. Check what is inside my heart. And as you are praying, just listen to me also. God will send words to you. Remember to take note of those corrections. I was reading, there's a book we are compiling. My colleague, my brethren and I. And I was reading one of the testimonies inside the book. One sister said, was trying to decide whether to marry a brother that wanted, was asking him to marry her, if I had to marry him. And amongst the things that she was considering, she would ask one brother one day, say, advise me. That one said, please, I don't know how to talk. All I know is that he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. He said, the guy did not know he answered her question that day. God will send you answers two different ways. A friend will bring correction to you. A word will come as you are reading your scriptures. As you are listening to the word of God, God will answer that prayer. And he will, by those words, lead you in the way of life, in the way of life everlasting. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. Very important. Pray that prayer for yourself today. By preparing our hearts again with prayer and with the word of God. Say, Lord, listen to this prayer point. Say, Lord, break my stubbornness. Yeah, you see, you are giving God the right to do things to you. Some people will have some problems over the next few days. Don't be afraid. Don't be angry. It is God dealing with you in some areas. Pray and say, Lord, break every stubbornness that's inside my heart. The spirit that refuses to be corrected. That's one problem a lot of people have in life. The spirits of stubbornness, they don't want to be corrected. Say, Lord, any such spirit inside me, break it and remove it. I give you the liberty to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Because in this life, the word must become flesh in me. Lord, every hindrance to the word becoming flesh, every hindrance to the fullness of the manifestation of your blessing, I give you the authority in my life once again. Remove them in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, my greatest desire is that I will be conformed to the image that you created me to be. My greatest desire is that your power will be fully manifested in my life. Therefore, I pray once again that any hindrance to the fulfillment of this desire, remove them out of my heart. Cleanse me thoroughly with hyssop. Let that cleansing, the atoning blood of Jesus, be applied to every corner in which there is wickedness in my heart. It's very important. God, as God is revealing it,
You have to start confessing them. There's a book I'm reading, Living the Spirit Form Life by Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford will explain how God will just subtly put a word of correction to him. And that's the beginning of a turnaround again in an area. Brethren, we need the correction of the Lord. Say, Lord, correct me. Wherever I'm missing it in this life, lead me, pour your spirit into me that I will obey your word at all times. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks because he's been so good. He's been so good. So say, Father, I thank you because indeed you are working in me. Say, Father, I thank you because indeed you are working in me. I thank you because your word will become flesh in my life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have the spirit of wisdom. I have the spirit of understanding. I have the spirit of revelation. I have understanding concerning the word of God. I have understanding concerning the ways of God. I have understanding the word of God is pleasant to my soul. I have wisdom. I have wisdom. I have understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you are there, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Now let's just close this meeting. Put up your right hand and begin to declare from Psalm 91. Say, I declare of the Lord. He alone,
He alone is my refuge,
my place of safety.
He is my God, and I trust in Him alone.
He will rescue me from every trap. Say like you believe it, He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from the deadly diseases.
He will shield me with His wings
and cover me with His feathers.
I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night.
Nor fear the dangers of the day.
Nor dread the epidemic that stalks in darkness.
I will not be afraid of disaster that strikes by day.
Though 1,000 fall at my side.
Though 10,000 are dying around me.
I will not be afraid.
And these evils will not touch me.
Shout it, I have made the Lord my refuge.
I have made the Most High my shelter.
No evil will conquer me.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
His angels are around me.
They protect me wherever I go.
They keep me with utmost care.
And I will not be injured.
I will trample down lions and poisonous snakes.
I will crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet.
I will tackle every difficult task.
I will have no impossibilities in my life.
Because the power of God is working with me.
The Lord will rescue me.
He will protect me because I trust in His name.
He will answer me when I call.
The Lord will be with me in the time of trouble.
He will rescue me and give me honor.
With long life, He will satisfy me.
Say it, with long life, He will satisfy me.
I will not die before my time.
I will prosper in this life.
I will see the glory of God in my life.
All the promises of God will be made flesh in me.
The Lord has given me His deliverance.
He has healed me in Christ Jesus.
And He has given me His abundant prosperity.
This is my portion in Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Surely God's goodness and His mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the presence of God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.